your skin or honestly your nervous system feels a bit overwhelmed, this is your sign to simplify. I've been reaching for Primally Pure's Blue Tansy products anytime my skin feels reactive, irritated, or just angry. Blue Tansy is naturally this beautiful sky blue oil that helps calm redness, inflammation, and dryness almost immediately, and you feel it working. What I love is that this isn't just skincare. It's a full head-to-toe ritual. From their cult favorite Blue Tansy deodorant to their soothing collection and body oil, everything is designed to work with your body, not against it. Their formulas use real biocompatible ingredients. No fillers, no fragrance, just ingredients your skin actually recognizes and responds to.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Happy June. June 1st today as we record this podcast. It is Jeremy Werner, Illini Inquirer publisher, Joey Wagner with us today. We have a fun week of podcasts this week. We got a special guest on Wednesday we're really looking forward to for Illinois basketball. And then on Thursday, I'll be chatting with Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports, get our annual Illini takes with Tom Fornelli. But Joey Wagner, happy June. How are you, buddy? You've had a lot going on in your life here recently.
I am good. I fired up the pit boss all weekend. I got that on Saturday afternoon. It is idiot proof, and I am an idiot. So honestly, you just put it on there and set the time, and I was able to figure that out. I did bother. There was like five people that I know that have one, and I was like texting Jeremy some of the stupid questions I send you. Take that to like 1,000. Like, hey, how much apple juice do I spritz it with? Just dumb stuff. But it's good, man. We got a little dog too.
So. I was gonna say, you lead with the grill or the smoker rather than you have a dog. You have another life in your house there, your new house. Like, what a month. New house, dog, smoker.
Trifecta. Yeah, I would imagine he's somewhere in this house marking his territory as we speak. So that's gonna be fun post pod to go check on how the dog's doing. He's good. He's a year and a half old Yorkie, all of 4 pounds. So we think about 4 pounds. We got a vet visit. But yeah, there's not much to the little guy, but he likes people and we like people. So it's a good fit.
Well, we got a busy month of content ahead because Illinois football has a lot of recruits visiting campus, and they only have 4 commits so far in this class. That is the lowest in the Big Ten right now, lowest ranked recruiting class. Of course, the caveat is it will be a smaller class, Joey. So if you care the most about the ranking, which includes quantity, probably won't be that high for Illinois. 12 to 18 is what Brett Bielema has previously said. Now, they always find a way to add more guys than they think in the spring, so probably get up to 20 at some point. But quality gets so far, all in-state recruits with Justin Johnson, Mason Hallman, Soren Pfeiffer, and Sean Rice. But, Joey, they got a lot of work to do in this class with just 4 commits so far. Even if they only take, say, 12 heading into the season, they got a lot of work to do in these next 3 weekends. But they have about 20 prospects coming to visit for the next 3 weekends, so a lot to play out in the next few weeks.
Yeah, they've got a lot of guys coming to campus. What we've seen in the past from Illinois football is you have a lot of guys coming to campus, but you also have a lot of commits coming with them, guys you have got on board in the spring, in the early summer. That is not as much the case this year. So you're not flanking official visitors with commits and kind of hitting it that way in terms of a recruiting process. So some of those guys will be on campus, and I'm sure, especially the in-staters, you can take a little unofficial, come over here, you know, shake hands, meet everybody, do your thing. But they've got to add some numbers, Jeremy, in the spring. The April visits weren't as fruitful as we had seen last year. We kind of knew that those were going to be uphill battles for Illinois when they were getting some of those guys on campus. But yeah, this is a big month. This is where the meat of the recruiting class is built, and Illinois's got some work to do.
Yeah, so in this podcast, we're going to break down kind of superlatives, just topics of like, hey, this is the biggest position in need, what's an intriguing position, most important in-state guy, out-of-state guy, and kind of maybe some guys that could make a big splash in this class. So we'll break it all down here coming up. But Joe, I just want to get your sense. What do you make of this class of 2027? We know it's a smaller class. I don't think it's going to be the class that people think changes the program completely. Like, I think of 2019 when they added Isaiah Williams and Marquez Beeson and Keith Randolph and a bunch of highly rated guys, Isaiah Williams, that could be a changer. And it ended up being that, even though some of the players who made the biggest impact, like Devin Witherspoon, we didn't imagine would be that. And then you have other classes that's like, you had some good players, you had a lot of depth. I think this could be a really quality class by recruits. I just don't know. It's not going to be one of those that ranks that highly, in my opinion, because some of those four-star targets you've gone after aren't going your way quite yet, outside of Justin Johnson, who's a four-star in the composite. And you're in a lot of Power Four recruiting battles, though. So that's the kind of way I've looked at it, is the evals are probably going to matter the most in this class, like who becomes a star that you didn't expect to. But I don't expect at the end of the day to see 5 4-star prospects at the top of this class that gets everybody excited. It's going to be, we'll find out what they are in 3 or 4 years, but going to have a lot of Power Four recruiting wins in this class.
Yeah, that's 100% right. Someone asked me the other day, you know, hey, how many 4-stars? And, you know, there's Justin Johnson's a composite. And I said, I know you've yelled this from every mountaintop you can find. There are not enough 4-stars in the class. So, like, look at the top 600, top 700, and that's changed, right? Like, when Brett Bielema first got here to Illinois, it was, look at all these top 1,000 guys that they're getting. That was a change of pace for Illinois football recruiting. Well, as the program moves forward, now you look at that and say, look at the top 600 guys they're getting, maybe the top 700 guys they're getting. That's not some cop out to say, hey, don't sweat the 4-stars. We're just more saying, hey, these are still Power Four guys. These are guys that are recruited well, that really, if you want to go proportionally for the number of prospects, like, they are in that 4-star talent category. So I look at this class as, it's a really long-winded way to say it, this feels like a starter class, right? Where you're getting started. Are you getting stars? Are you getting those first team all Big Ten type guys? Are you getting those maybe even second team? I don't know, but you're getting guys who are going to start for multiple years. You would imagine, right? As long as the development goes in the way, like, Mason Hallman projects as a starter, Justin Johnson projects as a starter, Sean Rice projects as a starter, Soren Pfeiffer. So that, I mean, that's meaningful. You need those guys. Are they going to be those high-end all Big Ten? I don't know. I wouldn't say they project to that right now, but you need guys who can come in and be trustworthy and can start football games and contribute to winning.
Yeah, and my thing is, like, the all Big Ten guys for Illinois generally have been 3-star prospects here recently.
That's right.
So that's what's the interesting part of this. But just to put in that top 1,000 context, I keep running rankings history here. Illinois, the last 2 recruiting cycles, has landed 32 top 1,000 prospects. To put that in perspective, 16 per year, right? 19 and 26, 13 and 2025. And that's why I think 26 is such a great class. It's probably the best class I have covered in my time at Illinois. The previous time that Illinois had more than 10, they had 10 in 2017, they had 11 in 2011. So the talent is going up, even if you don't see a 4-star by their name. And yes, Joey, I still believe the top 600 to 650 or 700 should be 4-stars in football, because the top 150 are in basketball, and we have 6 times more football players. So I said that over and over again, but it just puts in perspective of how we rate these things differently. But the talent level is going up, but they're not getting the top 247, top 300, which tend to be the 4-stars. Now, Justin Johnson is in that in the composite rankings. Soren Pfeiffer and Mason Hallman are right outside of that range. They are top 600 composite guys. And Sean Rice, we have him pretty low at 24/7 Sports in the state rankings at 41. He's 30 in the composite. So if we bump him up, that he could be a top 30 guy in state, top 25 guy in state, and what is a loaded, loaded class in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I like who they have to this point in this recruiting class. And I understand it at this point in Brett's tenure, maybe you would want a couple more 4-stars sprinkled in. That's absolutely fair to want. But to your point earlier with the All-Big Ten, they've developed well. They've developed these guys into NFL draft picks, into whether that's third, second, first, you know, a couple first team honorable mention, big all Big Ten guys. Like, they've done that well, so they have earned that benefit of the doubt. And you just like to see a couple more of those four stars. And that's, I get it. Like, when you look around your neighboring Midwest states and you're seeing those pop up at programs that maybe haven't had as much on the field success of late.
Wisconsin.
As Illinois.
Would you rather be Wisconsin with their recruiting class?
You didn't even practice that. You did a good job on that.
Wisconsin with their recruiting class and their recent record. I know they beat you. Or Illinois and its recent record and their recruiting class. I think I'd rather be where Illinois is at right now, by the way.
So, hey, I get it. If you're looking around, it's like, what is going on? Like, when do we get to get in a little bit on that? I understand that, but, man, they've done a good job on evaling and getting these guys to be productive football players on the field.
Yeah, and I think just like P.J. Fleck in Minnesota, which P.J.'s already got 25 commits. That guy just goes and gets them all done. Now that
it feels like when Dwight's trying to sell his Xterra to Andy in the office, like, now, do it, now.
I can see those conversations happening. That's just kind of the rumor about P.J. But, I mean, he's built a really good program. I just kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. He's going to have a good football team at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. He's going to be elite, probably not. He uses that word a lot, but like, I don't know if he's going to be quite there, but he's going to have a good competitive football program at what has been a tough place to win. I feel the same thing with Brett Bielema. I feel pretty good about where they are, like, and especially certain positions, right? Like, I'm not that concerned that they're not going to find a wide receiver, you know, that's going to make an impact. I'm pretty certain they're going to find transfer offensive linemen who work out, right? Like, I'm pretty sure they're going to find defensive backs. Quarterbacks in the transfer portal, they've hit pretty well. Now, there's some other positions we'll get to here, Joey, that you'd like to see upgraded and see them hit. But, yeah, I do think this staff gets the benefit of the doubt because they've developed and produced NFL guys, all Big Ten guys, just like you said.
Yeah, and that matters, and that sells when you're out on the recruiting trail. So, it's I do think that's – I didn't even really think a lot about it until we started talking, but just to see the evolution of – kind of where we set this benchmark on this podcast and talking about this, and from one top 1,000, now you're on the top 800. It's a gradual build forward. That development resonates, that production on the field resonates, and this is a big month to continue to sell that, to continue to land some of those top 600, 700, 800 guys and build this recruiting class and see where you're at, see what the season brings you, right? See where you're at. That Illinois has done that kind of October, November last minute pushes or revisited some recruitment.
They do really,
really
well
in the last minute.
They do really well in flip season because one of the things is, Joey, they got stability. You know, these other programs that start having coaching changes, losses, you know, like a program like Wisconsin, if they don't win this year, there's going to be a lot of guys back on the market, right? Like there's going to be a lot of guys, especially the new athletic director coming into there. Like Illinois, like, you know that coach is going to be there for a while. And, heck, some of these assistants might be here for a while. So, yeah, I think that's one thing where they always seem to pick up well and get some of their best players and best talents late in the fall.
Yeah, and then we'll see the Pat Ryan special in February. Like, we've got the kind of the blueprint down for how they build their recruiting classes. And to our earlier point, the only difference in this year's blueprint is you don't have as many commits headed into the month of June. So you got a little bit of a, I don't even say an uphill battle, but you got some work to do this month.
I feel like we've all been taught to be scared of the sun, avoid it, reapply constantly, cover up immediately. But recently, I started questioning that. The sun actually plays a role in things like your mood, sleep, and hormones. So I'm not avoiding it anymore. I'm just more intentional about what I put on my skin when I'm in it. A lot of conventional SPFs are filled with things like hormone-disrupting chemicals, seed oils, and synthetic ingredients, so I started looking for something simpler. That's what led me to Primally Pure's SPF. It's super minimal, only 9 ingredients, using non-nano zinc, plus really nourishing things like tallow and mango butter. I've been using their sun cream, and it honestly feels more like skincare than sunscreen. Lightweight, not chalky, and just easy to wear. So if you've been rethinking your sunscreen, Primally Pure is one of the best places to start.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, let's start our categories here, Joey. Let's start with the biggest position of need on offense. What do you got?
Tight end. It's tight end until it's not. And that's I like Will Vala. I like some of the things that they've done. You had B.J. Thurman, the number one JUCO tight end. Like, you've got some guys in there that you can see, hey, there's production possibilities here. Like, Logan Farrell was a good get. Can he be a Tanner Ark and Christian Abney type guy? But you've got to keep adding to that room, man. There's been – obviously, that maybe this is a little bit heightened from some of the four-star misses you had in the class of 2026, J.C. Anderson and Max Sutter. But you've got to keep stacking talent in there. Can you pull Cade Newman out of the state of Iowa? He left Iowa State without a commitment, and he's planning on visiting Illinois. That's a good sign. Jared Elliott, he seems very personable. He seems like a guy who can come in and, you know, win some of those recruitments. You got to do that now, and you've just got to keep adding to that room, because I think, you know, Jeremy, at this point, from a production standpoint, obviously – that is the biggest gap on the offense, right? Like, you like what they've got at quarterback, receiver, running back, offensive line. Tight end leaves some to be desired, and you've got to start reloading that chamber a little bit in the tight end room. And Jared Elliott, this is your first recruiting class to go in and do that and start getting some people in there.
Yeah, I'll give Robbie Disher this. Like, they found some transfers who made a big impact. And for the talent they have had, I mean, Tip Ryman becoming a third-round pick is phenomenal development. I give Tip a lot of credit for that, for being as personally driven as he was. And then Tanner Arkin turning into a guy who gets an NFL undrafted free agent deal. I don't think any of us thought that when he came in as a transfer. You just thought, hey, this guy can be a contributor. Ends up being a really good starter for you as a blocker the last 2 years. And I'm not a guy that needs to see the tight end have 500 receiving yards to think you have good tight ends, right? That's not the case anymore. But this is a position that I thought Brett Bielema would come into this program and recruit really, really well. And it just hasn't – you haven't had those prep recruiting wins that you thought. Now, Logan Farrell, Will Vala, solid additions in state, right? Like, those are good additions, power four wins. But – you want to take it to the next level. I mean, this is the guy who's had Hunter Henry, who's produced many NFL draft picks at both Wisconsin and Arkansas at this position. Of course, Tip is one of those guys at Illinois, too. You just figured it would resonate a little bit more. And I am high on what Jared Elliott can bring from a personality standpoint in recruiting. I think he can really help them, but he's coming late in this cycle. So Cade Newman has developed as the number one guy. Illinois and Iowa State are the two power four offers there. I think him getting out of Ames nearby from 30 minutes away is good, that he's going to make his visit to Illinois this weekend. But is he going to be the game changer for Illinois? I'm not counting on that. I think he'd be a solid get for Illinois. But this is a position that You just want to take the next step. Like, you have a developmental cell. You have a history here. You have the usage of tight ends, at least in snaps, Joey. And you, if you can find a guy who can catch the ball like Cole Rust, but also block a little bit better, that'd be great. I think BJ Thurman might be the most interesting ad they've had here from a dynamic receiving standpoint since Rusk. But he's the guy that maybe in 2 years you can look at and be like, okay, that's the guy they've been missing. But man, in these future classes, you want to see him add just a different level of kind of the guy who can both catch passes and block. But those are hard to find. And that's why, you know, the J.C. Anderson.
They go to Alabama.
Yeah, J.C. Sutter or Max Sutter and J.C. Anderson, they're so hard to get because everybody is looking for that guy and they're in limited supply. And it's why tight ends get overdrafted now in the NFL draft because they are so valuable when they can do both those things.
Yeah, and we've said this a lot, and people are probably tired of hearing it. This is a hard position to recruit because you have to think a little bit outside the box. Christian Abney was a high school quarterback, right? You've got to see where your Tip Ryman, you've got to kind of understand the mindset of rounding out some of those other parts of their game. There's a lot of projection involved when you're looking at tight ends outside of the top 15 or 20 nationally. That might even be a high number. So this is just a tough one, and you've got to kind of get a little bit creative with a running back you move over or a D2 quarterback you move over. You've got to just see where skills maybe work, but at the same time, you've also, if you're Illinois, you're in the Power Four, you're in the Big Ten, you've got the Brett Bielema cell, you've got the Barry Lunny cell.
Yeah.
Right? Barry Lunny, Jared Elliott, they have good cells as tight end coaches in their background here. So you got to start getting a little bit more out of that position on the recruiting trail because you're seeing that have to be kind of a little bit of a makeshift transfer, take a chance on, and good for Tanner Arkin. This isn't a knock on him in any capacity. Take a chance on a Colorado State tight end that didn't have a ton of usage. Take a chance on a Ball State tight end and Christian Abney that didn't have a ton of usage coming in and project that out well. Those have done okay for Illinois, but you want to start getting that a little bit, you know, if you can get some of those high school guys to get in your system, to get in and develop. So yeah, that's why someone like Will Vala, like Cade Newman, like those are important guys to just have around, man. And there's not as much projection needed with those guys. You still have to project some, but there's a little bit more known, it feels like, baked in.
Yeah, in the short term, Caden Fagan and BJ Thurman would be the guys that you think could be the dynamic, but Will Vala, who they seem pretty high on after his first spring, and a guy like Cade Newman, give you some chances, right? They give you some guys you can develop and see what they become, and I do think the tight end room is getting better, but they just haven't had that huge recruiting win. And as you said, Barry Lunny was Hunter Henry's position coach at Arkansas. He was a tight ends coach. And then Jared Elliott, Tanner Kojal was a phenomenal player at Ball State, and Abney was a good find as well. All right, Joey.
This conversation is why Brett Bielema would have been cartwheeling down Kirby had they landed Max Sutter last cycle, right? Like, that is – they went all out for him for good reason. There was very little projection needed for Max Sutter. See good player, try to get good player. It's just it's a hard one to get, man, and we're not trying to make excuses. It's just the reality of it.
Yeah, you just hope to get a second chance at a Max Sutter down the road. All right, biggest position of need, defense. Joey, you have the floor.
I mean, it's the same thing, but the other side. It's defensive line. That is all we've talked about, Jeremy, it feels like, really since that portal window, and there was that mass transfer out, and Illinois then kind of felt like you're just battling back to rebuild that, and you need to build that in the long term, right? So just keep adding defensive linemen. Another tough position because there's a more of a demand than there is a quantity of very good defensive linemen, of quality defensive linemen. But I do like some of the talent they've added in that room over the last few cycles. King Liggins, Kingston Shaw, Isaiah White, Tony Belonganai. Like, I think those are good prospects. We talked about them last year as good prospects. I still feel the same. I think you could see a couple of those guys lightly used in the rotation this year, especially if 5-for-5 happens for whatever they're going to call it. I don't care what they call it. That's the concept of it, right? So just keep stacking that talent. Like, the portal is going to drive you. Next offseason, the transfer portal defensive line is going to be key. You added some JUCOs to maybe develop. Hope you can lessen a little bit of that need, that financial need on the defensive line. But you can also do that by just continuing to stack some young talent this recruiting class. A guy like Marcus Woods, right? I mean, you've just got to keep going down those lines.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I've liked their recruiting classes on the defensive line here recently. It's just they're young. right? They're very young. And the problem is the guys we kind of liked a couple years ago left this offseason. Like Angel McCollum leaves. Like we liked him as a recruit, and then he leaves after a couple years. Eli Kunin. It was a great find in the transfer portal from the
quietly as good of a portal find as Brett Bielema has had at Illinois. And I'm not trying to take away from anyone else. That was, you go find a D2 defensive lineman, turn him into a power four rotation player, and then you ultimately leave. Like, that is as good of a as a transfer portal find, or in the top three for the Brett Bielema era at Illinois.
And we think those are the two guys that were the most likely, like, at didn't really necessarily want them to leave, because McCollum would seemingly fit this defense perfectly. Eli Kunin, just huge body, great find. Those guys had 2 years of eligibility left. So if you had those guys right now with Pat Farrell and Joe Barney, you'd feel pretty decent. And I think Demetrius John sounds like a player who's ready to take a leap. That's another guy I really liked a couple years ago. The key is you got to keep those guys in your program. So if they can keep Cameron Brooks, who I knew they were high on going into this year, but has the Achilles injury, which is unfortunate. Isaiah White's a huge dude, but Tony Belongnai, Parker Krim is a guy who got good spring buzz. King Liggins, a guy could play this year potentially. Kingston Shaw, I think Jacob Alexander ends up on the defensive line. Those are really good wins. Now you just got to keep them in your program, Joey, because it's usually year three before those guys are ready to be starters for you, unless you're a Johnny Newton level player, right? So that's the key for them moving forward. But yeah, you got to keep stacking. You got to keep stacking wins there. And Illinois's got a lot of guys visiting this month, especially this weekend. Owen Roberts out of York in Elmhurst. Got several Big Ten offers, Big 12 offers. Marquise Woods, kid from Chicago. Kenwood, or Whitney Young, excuse me. He's got a lot of Big Ten offers, SEC offers, Missouri, Kansas State is in the mix there. And then Ryan Paulson, another Iowa kid. Illinois really getting in on these Iowa kids, just visited Iowa State. I think Illinois's got a decent shot at him as well. So I don't know if there's, to be honest with you, as good of prospects as they had last year. But especially with a new staff, you want to keep adding guys that fit what you want. And while big, strong, fast, athletic, you want those at all positions, you are looking for guys who are more disruptors than, hey, control this gap, you know, two gap kind of thing. You want guys who can really disrupt that single gap system. So it'd be interesting. I think this is more of a depth class and develop class than last year. I think last year's defensive line class could have a few stars on it eventually. You just got to keep them in your program for a while.
Yeah, and I think those guys can have freshman year McCollum-like roles this year, and especially if that rule passes. I mean, you could see 50, 70 snaps for a guy like King Liggins, for a guy maybe like Kingston Shaw, Parker Krim. I like your point about Jacob Alexander likely moving back to the defensive line. Brett Bielema kind of teased that a little bit at the end of spring. Then you go get Ian Rea. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. You go and you add him, who's like a – no doubt for us it feels like Jack linebacker. Well, that almost feels like it opens the door to send Jacob Alexander back to the defensive line, because he was in that room in the spring. So it's another young guy you have in that room for that opportunity. So I really like the class of 2026 defensive line. Just keep adding, keep developing, and then keep them in your system. And that's the big thing, because that is a very saturated portal market. Man, like, if you're a defensive lineman and you can move with any capacity, you're going to probably have a nice paycheck waiting for you somewhere. And I don't know that snaps ultimately matter a great deal in that, right? And, you know, that's, you got to keep those guys that you like and give them opportunity. And I think some of that will happen for Illinois this year.
All right, I had another position I thought of putting there, but I'll stick with your defensive line. Most intriguing position on offense, Joey, what do you got?
I think we're going to have two different ones finally. I went with running back.
Yep. I don't blame you there. No, it was one of the two I considered.
Great, because I'm sure I knew where you went. Mostly because, can you go win the recruitment for TJ Lewis? Can you keep the Bolingbrook kid in state? This is a battle. Man, you've got Oklahoma. You've got Indiana. Is Auburn going to be in that conversation? Let's see what you got, Tyrone Wheatley. This is a big in-state running back that you can get. I don't know with the way that this class, or this running back room is built, that you need to go get, like, Khalil Valentine. You needed a Khalil Valentine at the point that he was a recruit. You had lost out on Darion Dupree. Valentine, a four-star. You needed some more star
and
power.
And you just had Chase Brown in your room, right? So it's like, hey, yes. You need somebody with star potential, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's a whole necessity in the class of 2026, but if you can go get TJ Lewis, all right. Like, now you really, really – that's a heck of a good prospect if you could land him. Granted, he visited in April, so now you've got to hold on. Can you get him back down for an unofficial? Can you keep him around campus as some of these visits? You would imagine a decision at some point. That's just typically the timeline for guys in recruiting cycles is late summer. So I don't know this is a big need for Illinois because they've taken so many backs in the last few recruiting classes.
Yeah, just to rehash, Cedric Weich and John Forster in the class of 2025 and Nelson Wheeler and Javari Barnett in the class of 2026. So you have some interesting players there, like Weich and Wheeler, kind of squattier but quick guys, while Forster and Barnett, a little bit of more power in between the tackles. So you have some nice flavors there. But TJ Lewis is a bit bigger. He's built like Tyrone Wheatley, right? He might not be as fast as Tyrone was. He's the number one prospect in the country. But when they offered TJ Lewis after Tyrone Wheatley, I said, that makes sense. They are looking for a bigger back in this class, and boy, Lewis would fit the bill.
Yeah, then so if you don't get him and the competition is stiff, then where do you go around him? Do you get a Keon Thomas who's going to be visiting campus this summer? So I just think I have that intriguing because there's a lot of star potential there in a room that doesn't need star potential just because there's so many people, and you still have Khalil Valentine in the room. But, man, you could make a splash if you could keep him, especially if some of the schools you're battling.
Another name to know is Steven Alexis, another running back out of Florida that is expected to visit. So, they got two other guys that are going to come on campus, so they're not going to go all in on TJ Lewis and waiting him out. Oklahoma just got a running back commit, so I feel good that it might not be there. Like, Indiana's got one and they're recruiting others, but they have been pushing hard for TJ Lewis for a long time, so I get concerned about that. And Auburn kind of coming into the fray would be a little bit concerning. But yeah, that was the other position I did consider here, just because adding a guy like Lewis to that room, he's just a little bit different than all of them, and it just continues to make that a position of strength. You want to keep that. I wrote today, like, wide receiver, DB, you want to keep those positions of strength. You want to keep stacking that talent, and adding a guy like Lewis would be there. I got to go quarterback. I know it's a layup here, Joey, but you weren't going to find a guy to fill the massive shoes of Cam Nilipati once he decommitted and commits to Michigan. He's a guy at the Elite 11 finals, right? He's really, really good. And I think the last month we've kind of assumed, since Sladen Shack has set up his official visit, that he is the most likely guy that they're going to add, and it's probably a fait accompli that the three-star Mississippi quarterback who's got great mechanics, strong arm, really competitive, that they take him and be a developmental guy. And I think he's got a little Donovan Leary, but maybe a little bit more arm talent to him. Just a competitive guy to add depth to that room. And they need depth in that room, Joey, because once Caden Hauser's gone, it's Carson Boyd, Michael Clayton, and Jershawn Newton. I don't know if any of us expect Jershawn Newton to be a backup, like the top backup quarterback at any time. So they have to add more pieces to that, because you always worry about, is there going to be turnover in the quarterback room? So they need to add one. But they've shown interest in Brady Edmonds, who's an Ohio State commit. But Ohio State's kind of had wandering eyes looking elsewhere. Now UCLA is probably more likely to flip him, but Illinois at least had conversations there. And now our national guys have said that they're looking into Ryan Rutkowski, who had a really great week at the Elite 11 Finals, under the radar kid, has group of five options. But Art Sikowski's been talking to him for the last week. So another guy that undersized, 6 foot, but a really good athlete, and really good accuracy and timing. Kind of reminds you a little bit of Carson Boyd. Like, it's more of that type than the Cam Nilipati, Michael Clayton type, or Brady Edmonds type. But it'll be interesting. Like, do they take one of these guys? Could they take two? Like, I could make a case for taking two quarterbacks in this class. Feel great about Boyd or Clayton being your starter next year. You'd be young, but you'd at least have some really good depth there. So it's the most intriguing position because it's the most unknown about all these guys, and it's probably going to come down to an evaluation of Shaq, Rutkowski, or both of them.
Yeah, that's a great point in taking two. If you can thread that needle, it's a difficult needle to thread with quarterbacks. There's really the musical chairs. There's always seeming to be a chair for a quarterback.
And it's probably better to go to like a Nevada and have a better chance to play than go to an Illinois, right? Because if you get to be a starter in 2 years in Nevada, you can hit the open market after your year of a starter and cash in.
Yeah, so I mean, we have to acknowledge, and I think you touched on it, they're a little bit, just the calendar, the timeline is different in quarterback recruiting. That position goes fast. On the recruiting trail, there's a reason Camden Lapati was an early commit. So now you lose him, and now you've got to kind of find what the market looks like after you've lost him. And now you're seeing Illinois branch out, find out what's out there in terms of quarterback recruiting. This is a big, I believe in Art Sikowski quite a bit as a recruiter. Talk to a single solitary quarterback in that room at Illinois, and you'll understand why. It's all just over-the-top praise about Art Sikowski, obviously Barry Lunny's offense. Brett Bielema is a personable guy. He puts a lot of trust and responsibility, but also pays them out, right, in quarterbacks in terms of what it means for him to be the face of a program and really leans into that. He does a very good job of managing the mental of a quarterback, Brett Bielema does. It's really as good as you're going to find. But this is a chance for Art to really kind of flex some of those recruiting muscles. You get in a little bit late on the quarterback class again because of a decommit. What can Art Sikowski do? Like, that is a fascinating June storyline here. And I think your point is really big. Do they take two? Can you convince a...
Well, because Shaq is visiting this weekend, right? And then you have Rakowski supposed to take an unofficial visit on June 16th. So it's like, I don't know if they get Shaq on campus and just kind of say, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So that's what
he's that first weekend that leads you to believe. And then you've still got some, because here's the thing, if you're Illinois, just given Shaq's offers, right? If he's coming to campus June 5th, you have to assume he's leaving campus. You've got to feel like you're in a pretty good spot to get a commitment from him if you've got him on campus that early. But then you still get an unofficial coming in after that. That at least the wind horse.
Yeah.
Right? What's this mean here? And can this be the rare two quarterback class?
Yeah.
It's a great point, dude.
Yeah. So it'll be really interesting. And here's my thing. Art Sikowski knows as well as anybody. You have to have the right mindset to be in a quarterback room and be supportive, but also be competitive. So that mindset's going to be interesting, because I don't think, you know, the guy who comes in this class is going to be an underdog to ever be a starter, right? So that's what I like about Shaq's competitiveness. And he's got the arm strength. He's got enough tools. Like, Ole Miss had offered him before taking two other quarterbacks. So he's got some tools here, but Carson Boyd and Michael Clayton are likely the future at this position. That's what Illinois sees, and they can always add a transfer. You better be competitive, and you better be supportive at the same time. So that mindset's going to be really important for whoever they add here. Guys, I'm pushing 40. I've noticed the older I get, the less forgiving even a couple drinks can be the next morning. You feel like you're responsible. You have a couple beers, you get home at a reasonable time, drink some water, eat some food. You do everything right, yet you still wake up feeling kind of off the next day. Foggy, low energy, not fully yourself. That's why I tried Cheers Restore. And honestly, I was skeptical at first, but the difference the next morning really surprised me. I slept better, woke up feeling way more normal, and actually felt productive the next day instead of dragging through the morning. This is Cheers Restore after alcohol aid. You take it up after your last drink or before bed, and it works while you sleep. Cheers says you'll wake up feeling at least 50% better or your money back. It helps your body metabolize alcohol more efficiently and supports liver health with ingredients like DHM and cysteine. Cheers is backed by doctors, PhDs, and over 1,000 verified clinicians. They've sold over 50 million doses. It's available at Target, CVS, and Walgreens. But take Cheers Restore after your last drink or before bed and wake up feeling at least 50% off better or your money back. For a limited time, listeners are getting 20% off their order by using code ALINI at cheershealth.com. Just head to cheershealth.com and use code ALINI for 20% off. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them ALINI Inquirer sent you. All right, Joey, most intriguing position, defense.
This isn't – we've got it. It's got to be linebacker still, because just linebacker, everything about linebacker, whether it's on the field, whether it's the competitions this fall, whether it's recruiting, it's all intriguing as heck to me. I am fascinated by all of it in terms of what Illinois is going to do, how many they're going to play, what's the rotation, how many do you take in the class of 2026? So I could make an argument. You could load up. You're playing a lot of linebackers at one time for Illinois. So, I mean, this is the answer. Linebacker is going to be intriguing until, like, October, right? Just all of it. What you know, you're going to see some stuff, obviously, in those first games, and then you're just going to get more of an idea as you keep stacking, probably midway through the year, you'll know a lot more. Mekhi Allen still sitting out there in the class of 2027. I don't know how realistic that get is, but you got him on campus in April. So that, you know, he's not committed anywhere yet. That's still, he's still available for you. I like Sean Rice. I like everything about what Sean Rice brings to Illinois. It seems like he's a Jack linebacker. Archie McDaniel led the recruitment for him. He loved that. Again, we've had the conversation about Jack linebackers. That means you also can play somewhere else in the linebacker. That might be right. So there's versatility there. Matthew Brady's a big target. He is a, I think he is a huge target for Illinois in this class. He's a downstate kid. He's starting to blow up a little bit. He's starting to get some of that attention. Illinois's done well downstate, save for a couple of the four-star guys from last year, and really even Cam Wagner this year. You've been on Jahmyr Daniels Portis for at least, what, Jeremy, 8 months, almost a year to this point. They've had him on campus. So there's still, I think there's a lot of talent still sitting out there for Illinois to get at the linebacker position. And I just, I have questions about all of it. Not bad. Like, I mean, they might end up being bad questions. I can't get a feel for much of the linebackers right now.
It is the most intriguing position to me, just because, like, yeah, we don't know exactly how they'll be used, what it looks like. I do know that linebacker became a lot more important, though. So, like, adding more talent there is really important. And Sean Rice was a great start on top of what was a really good – like, they've actually quietly added some really good linebacker talent the last couple of years. Obviously, out of Lakota West, Grant Bierman and Cam Thomas in back-to-back classes. But now in this defense – I was wondering why they were taking some of the linebackers they did last year. Now it makes more sense why Caden Bennett and Caden Cobbs are part of this class. Kind of these tweener-like prospects. They fit a heck of a lot more in this defense. Bennett is likely a Jack linebacker. Caden Cobbs could be a Matthew Bailey-like kind of player, is a boundary safety or linebacker. The Jalen Stewart makes sense as a Jack. Tony Williams, really great speed sideline to sideline and can blitz really well. So all of those guys, I think those guys can make an impact, and they certainly help on special teams, but yeah, we'll talk more about Brady here in a little bit, but they got some talented guys coming in. So, yeah, everything about linebacker, plus you lose Daniel Brown, James Kreutz, Ishmael Conte, Ian Rea, all after this year. So you need more depth and more numbers behind those guys. All right, Joey, let's go to most important in-state target on offense. Who do you have here? There's a lot of them.
This may have changed in the last 10 days. You know, I think it might be Bennett Conkey. Just the way that he is running. He ran a 10.39 100 state champion in class 3A, 21.08 200. That's moving.
That was like this dude. 8/100ths of a second off the state record, which was Marcellus Moore, who went to Purdue and ended up being a track athlete there anyway. Bennett 6'1", 195. Marcellus Moore was like 5'9", 160. So, yeah, that's moving for a guy with some size to him, too.
And because of that, this dude has got the Midwest official visit tour lining up, right? He's got Iowa State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa. You're in it, man. This is a Power Four, largely a Big Ten, plus honorary Big Ten member, Iowa State, which is in the way that it recruits. Like, this is a heck of a battle. Justin Stepp has done very well in this recruitment as far as I mean, I know you've probably been maybe a little more boots on the ground on that recruitment. I also know Justin Steph's just a really good recruiter.
Yep.
And to have a guy with that kind of speed, you blend with that size in the state, he feels like he could be a rankings riser as this year
First along. Ranking, he got an 88 from us, which is really, I mean, what, two steps away from a four-star prospect. So top 25 prospect in state when he wasn't ranked before that. When I asked for him to be ranked, like, our guys love his film, but obviously the speed is just elite, Joe. I mean, this is guy who could be on the Illinois track team and compete for Big Ten championships by the time he's done with school.
Yeah, so that's why this guy in the last 10 days, 2 weeks, he's moved to my number one in-state offensive player. I think that would be a big splash for Illinois to land him, and you'd add a different dynamic to the receiver room, right? I mean, we've talked about there's a reason Jayshon Platt, it got a lot of buzz in the spring. There's a different level of speed that he has. Bennett Conkey has a different level of speed. That's just a good kind of, say, change up. It's more of a fastball to bring into that receiver room. But yeah, man, I think he is a big prospect for Illinois, and I'm glad Justin steps on it because I think he's very good at his job.
Yeah, kid out of Geneva as well. I look at this list. Wisconsin. Obviously, they're doing something right in recruiting right now. There's no stability there right now. New AD is a must-win year for Luke Fickell. Iowa State, new coach. They got that new buzz. It's Big 12. Like, they've had good receivers out of there, so that's a good sell. I don't want to overlook them. The new coach, Rogers, seems like he's a really bright young guy. Iowa. What's that passing game like, right? Northwestern, good program, close to home for him, great academics. You know, Chip Kelly comes in there. They got some excitement. So I could get why Northwestern would be there. I'm just looking at this objectively. Like, Illinois has the best sell, right? Like, when it comes to proximity, Big Ten, the development of wide receivers to get to the NFL, the offense, which highlights wide receivers. I think Illinois should be the leader in this. They got in early. They were the first school to get an official visit, but it's gotten busy. I mean, he's taking 5 visits in 2 weeks here, Joey. So by the time he gets to Illinois on June 12th, that'll be his 4th visit in a week. So that's what I get concerned about, is those other schools kind of getting ahead of you. But I also think Illinois is a school that's got to be chased down here, but I think he'd be a massive get. Just that kind of speed, but also the size. He's developing as a route runner with Justin Stepp. It'd be a lot of fun to watch, man. So, yeah, I have him as the most important guy here, because even though wide receiver, I'm not sitting there going like, hey, they have to get wide receivers in this class. They just signed 6 of them in the last class. But this is a different level of speed, and it's one thing this receiver room has been lacking, right? Like, you think of the guys that have come out of this program. Pat Bryant ran a 4.59. Hank Beatty and Isaiah Williams, 4.6 guys. I think Clement and Dixon are probably, at best, mid-4.5s. Casey Washington was the fastest at 4.53, right? So to add a guy with, I mean, this is legit 4.4 or under type of speed. That's just a different dynamic they haven't had.
Yeah, and ideally, not to sound any longer, you like to close him down before some other people find out.
Yep.
Right? And I think that's a... That's kind of an interesting subplot here, is you would like to – he's not some under-the-radar guy at this point, but once those track numbers from this past weekend start making their way around, you would like to close that down, I think, sooner than later.
Yeah. All right, most important in-state target on defense, Joey, who you got?
And we teased this earlier, and it's Matthew Brady. He is the down – you've done very well, very, very well downstate. You're never going to close off Chicago. You're going to lose some. I mean, you lost the 3 4 stars in the last 2 classes downstate, and Anderson Sutter and Cam Wagner, but they've done well south of I-80. They've had guys who have contributed to this winning they've done south of I-80. Now Matthew Brady's the guy who is starting to blow up a little bit. To be honest with you, like, maybe a month ago I would have said Sean Rice, but right now I feel like Matthew Brady has kind of evolved into that guy. I mean, you're in a Big Ten battle for a Bloomington Central Catholic linebacker, and I just, you've got to, this feels like one that you've got to make sure that you can flex a little bit, keep home. He's got Michigan State, he's got Nebraska, Minnesota, Illinois. You're going to be in a battle for him, but you're getting him on campus, and I just, feels like the guy that you got to keep home.
It's such an intriguing player too. He's a high school quarterback, right? He's played a little bit of linebacker, but he's basically their quarterback. But he's 6'4", 220, legitimate speed. Like, this guy's under 4'6", speed, like, and plays with physicality. My concern here is you got to wait till June 19th to get him on campus. Like, that's my concern here, is this is a kid that has so much Big Ten interest, and there's some good sells here. I mean, Michigan State's a rebuilding program. Pat Fitzgerald's selling him about playing linebacker. Pat Fitzgerald's a pretty good recruiter, was a pretty good linebacker, pretty good linebackers coach. Nebraska, program that's solid. Matt Rule's done a pretty good job defensively. Minnesota's got so many commits. I wonder if he even makes that visit, because they could be full. They got 25 commits in their class already. So I just love to see Illinois knock out Nebraska or Minnesota and get him on campus a little bit sooner. But he's got developing to do. He's clearly raw at the position, Joey. But the tools just make him exactly what Illinois needs at this position, right? Like, everything we love about Grant Bierman, from a tools perspective, Matthew Brady's got that. He just hasn't played as much linebacker. So that's why he's number 45 in state in the composite, 44 in 24/7 sports. This guy's ceiling, like, he's not even scratching the surface yet because he hasn't played a lot at this position. So I'd love to see Roger Cooper to see what he can develop and how they can use him in this defense. And I imagine that is the sell, is if you want to play linebacker, this is the type of defense that can showcase you.
Yeah, why am I drawn? Jimmy Rolder, like, just kind of a...
He's a better athlete than Jimmy. Jimmy's just a hell of a linebacker.
Yeah, and I don't want to make the on-field, but just if you think about how the recruitments went, you know, yeah, it's kind of quiet, and then boom, it's all the way here, and all of a sudden you're in a battle. Like, this last few weeks has been Matthew Brady's blown up. And obviously the position overlap there, and, you know, maybe Illinois had a chance at Jimmy Rolder earlier in that recruitment before it went.
Same thing totally. With Brady, right? Like, Brady, Illinois, yeah, offered about a couple weeks after everybody else, but they've been recruiting him. Talking with Matthew, it doesn't sound like that's a big deal to him because they've been in contact. He visited Illinois before he got a bunch of these offers, but they did offer a couple weeks later. I don't know if ultimately that'll happen. You're just in a Big Ten battle now against Pat Fitzgerald, Matt Rhule, and PJ Fleck, who are all pretty good recruiters.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm with you. I think Roger Cooper can sell, hey, this is a system that you're going to be able to really put up some numbers. We're going to give you freedom to go here, there, everywhere. You're just in a battle against programs that are good Big Ten programs, you know, or have had coaches who have had success in the Big Ten in the case of Pat Fitzgerald. We'll see, man, but I think it's kind of funny how him and Conkey have kind of risen up, at least the way we see things, you and I, just the importance level over the course of the last few weeks. And now it's just a fight at this point through the summer.
Just a heck of a Big Ten or a in-state recruiting class. When you're looking at Matthew Brady, number 44 in-state prospect, he's got Michigan State, Nebraska, Minnesota, Illinois as his official visits. Like, just a loaded in-state class, really deep. All right, key out-of-state target offense, Joey, who you got?
I texted you last night. I struggled with this. You know, you quit freaking out. It's not that hard. Is it? I did struggle with it. Is it Brady? I can't remember if I
auto-correct. I had Brody Knowles, wide receiver, yeah, out of Texas. Yeah. They have recruited him for a really, really long time.
I had Brody Knowles too. Yes.
Yeah, go for it.
It's Justin Stepp. He's good at this, man. He has ties in Texas. He has been on Brody Knowles for some time. You're just in a battle with in-state TCU at this point for him. But it's there. Like, you're in this battle. It's a winnable battle for you. It might be an uphill battle, but you, again, like, they've added so many receivers over the last class, really. You can aim pretty high in terms of what you're going for. You don't need to build your base with guys who maybe aren't high profile power four battles. You can go for your Brody Knowles. You can go for your Bennett Conkeys. I just think Justin Stepp has put in the work to put Illinois in a real spot here. You just got to take a kid out of Texas who's got interest from schools in Texas, and that's a tough move. But Justin Stepp is, again, like, I don't want to keep belaboring it, but he's very, very good at recruiting, man. He's a heck of a good recruiter.
And Illinois got a great sell at wide receiver. The issue is Arkansas, Colorado are in this mix too, so I don't want to overlook them. But TCU, I mean, they were in a college football championship game not that long ago. They've had really good wide receiver production as well. Was it Quentin? Who the Chargers take? Quentin something.
Johnston.
And then Jack Beck was drafted really highly a couple years ago. So they've had good wide receiver production as well. And pulling Texas kids from these Texas programs can be really difficult. But this kid's really quiet kid about his recruitment. He picked up the phone and, like, we talked for like 10 minutes. He was really excited about that official visit on April. I think it's Illinois and TCU. Colorado, I know, is making a push there. But the problem is, can that buzz of that visit from 2 months ago, can it last? That is the key. I think Illinois is in this battle until the end, but can that buzz last until the very end here? But 6'5", 200 pounds, really good speed, great hands. Seems like he really enjoyed his visit, but that buzz has got to last. But I agree with you, Joey. I think he's not that high in the composite, like 101.5, but this is a really good prospect that, again, is just a little bit different at 6'5" than the wide receivers they've added the last couple classes. So really like him as a prospect, and I know Justin Stepp has been pushing hard, so I had him too.
Yeah, that's a little bit of the give and take with some of the April visits, right? If you don't get that commitment in late April, early May, then you got to hold on through the summer commitments. And that's still just a long time between April and some of these guys visiting other programs in June. It doesn't mean you're out. It just means you got to be working the phones. You got to be all over that to stay in that race a little bit and keep some of those good vibes for multiple months.
The flip side is if you don't get them in April, maybe you don't get them on campus at all. So that's why they get guys like Brody Knowles or Makai Allen. You get them on campus early because, hey, we got a shot at him. Timi Alu, who committed to Nebraska here recently, you probably don't get him on campus in June because he committed to Nebraska in May. So at least you got a shot at him, and you see if it works, and maybe it gives you a second chance at some point. But that's why you want to get him on campus sometimes earlier in the process as well. Key out-of-state target, Joey. Defense, who you got?
Yeah, it would be the four-star linebacker that they're recruiting. Makai Allen, another April visit that he's still on the board. You didn't get a commitment, but he hasn't committed anywhere else. New Jersey kid, Art Sikowski in the state of New Jersey. Like, I know he's a quarterback's coach, so we're talking about a linebacker, but he has got a lot of connections in the state. He builds those relationship, and you're talking about a really good talent at a really intriguing position where I think this could be, you know, Illinois would have to have its cards fall very, very well here, especially because Makai Allen feels like an uphill battle at this point. But man, there's still some linebackers out there that you could put together a hell of a linebacker class in the class of 2027 if you're Illinois. But yeah, it's see if you can keep that momentum going with him, but you've got to survive some other big time visits on him. But man, that'd be he'd be a headliner, right? He would be a class headliner in 2027.
Feels like to me a guy that, hey, we'll see what he's doing in December. probably not going to get him the first time around, but maybe you can and try and flip him if your defense has a good year. I wanted to pick a DB here because I feel good that they're going to add good DBs. It's just been the case. And safety was a position I thought of for most intriguing position just because of this defense. You play three of them. A lot of times your defensive backs can sometimes look like linebackers, which is why Henry Sakalis is a guy considered for the most important in-state defensive target. One, just to get somebody from Chicago Nazareth, a scholarship player. Illinois has never done that. And I think he's really intriguing. He's 6'4", 195. Could end up being a linebacker. So he really intrigues me, but he's an in-state kid. I went with Roman Combs, a cornerback out of Ohio, Lakota West, which is where Cam Thomas and Grant Bierman are both from. They recruited that school really, really well. And he's pretty highly rated, but because he had an injury last year, it feels like some of his options have dried up a little bit, but Illinois has gotten into the mix, offered him, quickly gets an official visit for this weekend. 6'4", 200 pounds. You know, some of the long defensive backs have not worked out as well for Illinois or made a huge impact, but he's just a really intriguing player that had a lot more interest before he had an injury as a junior. So while there's other interesting DBs, Daryl Flemister out of Michigan, Illinois battling for with Wisconsin, Trey Savant Boyd, who Corey Parker's been recruiting for a long time, reminds me of Torrey Cox. Tyrone Howard Jr. is a Florida safety visiting. Hezekiah Kelly is visiting this weekend out of Ohio. Seems like they're doing well there. But just being 6'4 at corner, it's always going to intrigue me. It did with Aaron Henry. It didn't work out all that well for any of those guys, but just adding a different piece like that would be really interesting on top of Justin Johnson at corner.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's the height at corners. We kind of had those questions before, but the way you described his recruitment, injury, you were highly right. Some Isaiah Williams in the class of 2026 vibes. The DB out of Texas, he was very highly rated. Injury slowed him down. Jabari Barnett was a little bit in that conversation too. Illinois seems to say, hey, we believe in the talent. Injuries be damned. We know we've got Tank Wright. We've got a system here that we really believe in. We'll get you back to where you got to go, and we see the talent with what you have. So it's just that's kind of been a, I wouldn't say a major trend, but quietly there's been a couple more of those different stories stack up on themselves. So I like that. Lakota West is really becoming a pretty good spot for Illinois to go in there and get talent. The two linebackers they got out of Lakota West, as you mentioned, Bierman and Thomas, are stellar. They are very good. Like, you could see those two playing together in the future, playing together a lot and having success. Like, that's what they did in high school. They're very, very good prospects. And you want to, like, to get into Ohio, find the good schools and get in there, treat the kids right, give them opportunity, and see if you can keep getting that pipeline going a little bit. It's a state there's some talent in, so I like that pick.
I think I said he's visiting this weekend. Roman Combs visiting June 12th. He just visited Iowa State, visiting Purdue, visiting Pitt as well. He's had offers from Penn State, Indiana, Iowa, Louisville. So some good programs have been on him previously. Last one, Joey. You can go anywhere you want. Who would be the chance for a big splash here? I mean, you mentioned Mekhi Allen. He would certainly be.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, he's certainly an answer. Just to be a little different, Bryson Thrower. We're talking wide receivers again because Illinois is shooting high, right? They're shooting to try to get some star power in there. Are either likely, I don't know, man, probably not.
Texas, but you're pushing really hard, Texas A&M, Texas Tech. The fact that Illinois is even in the top four is pretty amazing, and kudos to Justin Stepp there. For a Texas kid to turn down Texas A&M and Texas Tech for Illinois, it's a really difficult thing to do. So even if you have like the best, like I think Illinois has got a great relationship there. Justin Stepp's done a great job there. Going to school, saying I committed to Illinois over Texas A&M, like, that's hard to do for a kid.
It is. And, you know, to your point, yeah, the fact that Illinois is in that conversation. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that it's likely. I would say it's probably not. But if you could win that battle, oh, man, that is significant. That is something that Brett B., I promise you, Twitter fingers would get going that night, right? You would want to shout that as far as you can, whether it's Stepp or Bielma or whoever in that building, some of the recruiting personnel. That would be a really, really significant win. Mekhi Allen, obviously, is a top 247 guy, man. Like, that's a headliner in the class. I think Thrower's a good prospect. I think he would be a guy that would really generate some buzz for Illinois. So either one of those two feel like the big two to me. Do you have anyone different?
TJ Lewis. I think he'd be a big splash. In-state kid. He's number 608 in the composite, top 25 in-state. So I know he doesn't have that four-star. To me, he's a four-star talent. And to land him when he's got Oklahoma, Indiana's been pushing for a long time, you know, Auburn trying to get in the mix. And to be honest with you, it's the kind of guy I think a Brett Bielema program should get. I do. And the running back cell they have is really strong. That to me would be a big splash. And I think Conkey and Brady would be too. I think those – I really like those prospects. More development ahead for them, but I just love the upside of both those guys. But TJ Lewis would be my big splash. If you can end up finding a way to get him through all of this, and I don't know if they're the most confident because they got two other running backs visiting this month, right? They don't want to come out empty-handed there. But they're in the battle there. So adding TJ Lewis to the running back room they already have I think would be awesome because I could see him as a future all-Big Ten caliber guy.
Yeah, could he be a Khalil Valentine role as a freshman in the same role that Khalil had as a freshman? I don't see why not. You're going to have some opportunities in that room just in who's departing coming up in the future here. So I'm with you. He was probably the layup of an answer. I went with guys who are maybe a little bit more of a long shot because I don't think TJ Lewis is quite the long shot that Mekhi Allen or Bryson Thrower are, but it's still a hell of a battle to try to get his commitment.
How'd Pauly do throughout this? Do you bother?
I have no idea. He's in the other room. It's probably chaos. I don't know. We'll find out. I did want to ask. I've been checking the comments because I wanted to see our guy St. Dom after Andre Stojakovic came back because Mr. Dom was convinced that Andre was gone, which is stunning to me. I was floored that he had that stance. You should probably cut this. I don't want to crap on somebody.
I haven't seen. I haven't heard from regularly. Him recently.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. It's usually how it goes, yeah. Right? Some good things start happening. Maybe
get quiet.
Maybe be quiet.
Get quiet
for a little bit.
Then they lose a game at Duke, and Brad can't do it.
Oh baby,
Brad will never get comments. To a Final Four.
I shouldn't. Come on, that wasn't fair of me to take a.
Sure, it is. If you're going to comment as much as he does with the hot takes that he does, sure, it's fair.
Oh man, I did look like as soon as Andre, and again, everybody felt like Andre was coming back. I mean, there's only so many ways you could say it with the hey. There's still the opportunity because he's still in the draft that he might not. But at no point did I think you or Kyle or my voice doesn't matter what you two do. But like it was pretty clear that he was on his way back to Illinois. And
didn't make no sense for him not to. I mean, even if you don't talk to people, which obviously we do, and the word we were getting is pretty confident he's coming back, like very confident he's coming back. It just didn't make any sense for Andre, and I don't think Andre's lacking intelligence. Andre's a very, very smart man.
Yeah, and he's also in a position that he can play the right cards, right? He doesn't have to just go. You know, he came back, and there's quite a lot of money, I would imagine, back in Champaign.
And he increased his options because of 5-for-5 passes. This is a guy that could have 2 years of college eligibility left. If he leaves and becomes a second-round pick and gets a two-way contract, how much money...
Now, hold on now. There's still an avenue to come back. I'm with you.
How much money would he have left 2 years of college for Andrei Stojakovic? Is ridiculous money.
A lot of money.
That's first-round money that he would be leaving on the table to be a two-way. It just didn't make any sense. So, yeah, wasn't a surprise. But it's nice to hear. Nice to get the finality of it, right?
Yes. And I'm sorry to pick on St. Dom. We do appreciate him listening. But I did. I'm not going to lie to you. I did refresh the comments a little bit and to see what the trend was there.
Yeah, just searching. Yeah. Searching for it. All right, Joey, you're the goods, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening to the Line Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube. Hit that like button down below. Hit the notifications bell and subscribe to us. But for Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Line Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.